It may be hard for us to imagine to put ourselves in Isaiah's place, so to speak. All of us have probably heard this selection from Isaiah multiple times. I would venture to say that this is probably the most popular selection of verses from all of the 66 chapters of Isaiah. It's so popular that my daughter-in-law has the words, "Here I am and send me," tattooed on the top of her feet. "Here I am on one foot and send me on the other." But to have seen the vision, to have smelled the smoke, to have felt the ground shake, to have felt the burning coal touch your lips, and to have heard the voice of the Lord speak to you, well, that's an experience like none other, and it would be hard for us to relate to it. Well, Isaiah isn't in a great place. His country isn't in a great place. Their king, Uzziah, had died. Their country is in decline. Assyria is a constant threat. Judah's security and stability aren't what they used to be. Well, maybe we're not as far from Isaiah's situation as we thought. Well, our president hasn't died, but I think we can all agree that his position is on life support. The dignity and honor it once had has all but passed away. The very foundation of our country is being attacked from all sides, and especially from within. China, Korea, Russia, the Middle East are all constant threats to our way of life. Viruses, computer, and COVID have rocked our world's security and stability. What Isaiah needed, what his country needed, was to come to the realization of the depth of their sin and repent so God could use them for his work. And I believe that that may be God's message to us today. What would it take for us to see that our situation, our sinfulness, is as desperate as Isaiah's? What if, as I started worship this morning with the invocation, this whole area was transformed into the heavenly throne room, and the Lord is sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, the hem of his robe filling this whole sanctuary, this whole area, so that there wasn't any room for anything else, no pews, no people, nothing. The height of his throne and the length of his robes speak to the majesty of it all. For he comes not just as a king of his people, but as a judge also. For when Christ returns, we won't see him as one defeated, but as one victorious over sin, death, the devil, to judge the living and the dead. And as we look on with Isaiah, we see the seraphim, the six-winged angels created by God. The Bible says with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Here God's attendants, the burning ones, the very definition of seraphim, stand at the ready, serving God night and day. Their wings covered their eyes and their feet, an expression of humility and unworthiness. We see that even the seraphim view the Almighty as too holy to look at. And the song that they sing reflect his holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The Trinity is praised by an angelic choir. The earth declares his glory, for it is his theater. Their cries shake the temple. The smoke billows forth. Only the God of all creation could be worthy of such adoration. But what of Isaiah? But what of us? What is our reaction to such a spectacle? Do we join with the angels in their song of praise? Do we fall on our faces in fear of the wrath of the Holy One? Do we echo Isaiah's confession at the realization of our complete depravity. People loved by God, one day we may face this very scene. One day the end will come and we dare not stand before God unprepared in our sins. Isaiah, realizing his desperate sinfulness, confesses, "Woe is me, for I am a man lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah realizes that without direct intervention by God, he is doomed forever. We, like Isaiah, are sinners, unable to praise God, but even more than that, unable to see God and live. For even the seraphim veil their faces. True praise for God is a privilege reserved for those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our guilt, like Isaiah's, must be removed. Then one of the seraphim flew to Isaiah and touched his lips with a coal he had taken with tongs from the altar of a sacrifice for sin. For we know that for sin to be forgiven, a sacrifice must be made, blood must be shed. This hot coal was a declaration of God's forgiveness, spoken by God's heavenly messenger. Isaiah's guilt was taken away, his sin atoned for, and what an absolution it was. Isaiah was visibly and tangibly cleansed of his sin. But what about us? Have we not also heard, seen, felt, tasted, and smelled our cleansing from sin just as certainly? There was a day some time ago when one of God's messengers, taking water, poured it over our heads, declaring to us, "I baptize you in the name of the Holy, 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 the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And is it not every Sunday when God's messenger stands before the very throne of God and that he announces, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Holy, 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 the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit"? And during the preface to communion, we echo the singing of the seraphim as we sing the Sanctus, "Holy, Holy, Holy." After which that same messenger of God really does take something from the altar, gives it to you, and that something touches your lips, and he says, "Take and eat, the very body of Christ given for you. Take and drink, the very blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sin." It is here, at the very climax of our worship service, that we see our God high and lifted up in his service to you. Our vision is every bit as real, as tangible, as powerful, and just as moving as Isaiah's. With his sin no longer an obstacle, Isaiah, with trembling lips, was ready to answer when the Lord called him. What Isaiah saw and what the Lord God did for him moved him to say, "Here I am, send me." So my questions for you today are these. What are you seeing on Sunday mornings? What has God done and what does he continue to do for you each and every day? And what is God calling you to do? In our world today, we have so many opportunities to share our faith with those who are not yet believers in Christ. And there are also many opportunities right here at Grace to serve. Due to COVID, all the positions on the board of directors are up for election this year, 1- and 2-year terms. We are also in need of adding additional elders. With these openings and other opportunities coming up, it is as if God is asking, "Who shall I send? Who shall go for us?" Now is the time for you to consider what your answer will be. I'm not saying that you have to get tattooed on the top of your feet. But I am saying, be bold like Isaiah, and answer the Lord's calling by saying, here I am, send me. Isaiah didn't know what his message was going to be, what he was going to preach, where he was going to preach it, or for how long he was going to serve. But he volunteered anyway. He did so because of the enormous gift of God's grace that had been given to him in the kiss of that burning coal. We too have received an enormous gift. We too may not know what the Lord is calling us to do, where, or for how long. But if we show that same willingness to serve that Isaiah did, the God who created the universe and all that is in it will equip us for whatever he has in mind. So together, let's echo the words of that great prophet Isaiah and be willing to say those same words with trembling lips. Here I am, send me. In fact, let's do that together right now as a congregation. Ready? Let's say it together. Here I am, send me. Amen.